Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Cuts in on the right foot, launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer. And brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and we are getting into the business end of this 2026 FIFA World Cup. Two groups are concluded. One is halfway concluded in Game 3. We'll talk about all of that. Madison Cruz will join us in segment number 2. We've got the 3-4-3 to wrap everything up. But we now know some teams that have won groups. We know some teams that have finished second in their groups that will get them into the knockout round. We know one third place team that is extremely likely to be in the knockout round, and that's important if you are a U.S. men's national team fan, potentially. And we know one third place team that is going to be sweating it out quite a bit over the next couple of days. And we've got 45 more minutes in Group A, where there are a couple of teams that are sweating things out at the moment. Let's get caught up on what has happened today. Who's through? Who's out? What's coming tomorrow? Let's talk about all of that. And we'll start with the U.S. men's national team. We know they're through as the Group D winners. Their match tomorrow against Turkey A does not matter for the group standings. Turkey A is eliminated. You do want to maintain momentum, and that is a very important thing. Christian Pulisic is available. That is important. He will be able to play if Mauricio Pochettino chooses to play him, and I think it really depends on how Pulisic is feeling, if there's any risk of re-injury or aggravating the injury that kept him out of game number 2. I would like to see him get some minutes if there are no worries about it getting worse or re-injuring or anything that could affect his availability for the round of 32, because I'd like to get him just a little sharper. There's a few other guys in the squad that I think you might need in a knockout game. It would be good to get them minutes tomorrow, but you do want to continue the strong play. That is another key element of what you're trying to get out of tomorrow. Game kicks off at 10 o'clock. We will be live from the Harvey in Chamblee, a great spot to watch this match. You can come watch it with us. Chris Thomas will get the night started from 6 to 8. I will be there from 8 to 10. We'll take you right up to kickoff of that match from the Harvey in Chamblee. So what happened in Group C today? Let's work backwards. These are the ones that just finished. One of the matches finished about a couple hours ago at Atlanta Stadium when it comes to the World Cup, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as we know it and love it. That one was a wild one. Morocco and Haiti, 4-2 final. We'll talk to Madison about that on the other side of the break. Brazil at the same time took care of Scotland 3-0 and kind of had control of that from early on. So Morocco knew coming in they were going to have to put up some goals. They did, but Haiti scored twice and took the lead twice. So Morocco was never really in a position where first place looked attainable because of Brazil scoring early and Haiti being very pesky. Morocco went into the second half needing 4 goals to pull ahead of Brazil, and they did not quite find that. They found 2. They won the match. So many different things we'll remember about this match. We'll get into that. But Brazil, they have grown as the tournament went on. Neymar saw the field today. No Rafinha, and that's going to be a big question mark for Brazil as you go into the knockout round. But they win the group with 7 points. Morocco finishes second, also on 7, less a worse goal differential. That's why they finish in second. Scotland is on 3 points. That 3-0 loss to Brazil, that third goal that they conceded, that's a problem. And Scotland's performance in this match in general is a problem. And this is not news if you've listened to this show in the lead up to the World Cup or during the World Cup. Steve Clark got a contract renewal ahead of the World Cup, which is mind-blowing to me because it's great that he got the team back to the World Cup for the first time since 1998. That's great. This is a team that on talent alone should be doing that. This is a team that, yes, maybe took advantage of having an expanded field. They did have to fight their way back into it. You give Scott McTominay a ton of credit for what he did in that stretch run for Scotland. They end up jumping Denmark, who fell apart late and kind of handed everything over. But Scotland qualified. Full credit to Steve Clark for doing the job that he was hired to do. He knew coming into this match against Brazil, a narrow loss was acceptable and probably fine to get into the knockout round. The fact that you go into this and you give up a goal in the seventh minute, what preparation, what happened? And then you give up a goal in first half stoppage time, and then you give up another goal in the first 15 minutes of the second half in the 60th minute. Unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. His post-game walk-off interview was also terrible. Didn't really feel like he was taking any responsibility for anything. And the fact that he was given a renewed contract through the next cycle before the tournament is always a mistake. I feel like I'm picking up a little bit of where Chris left off talking about Kyle Pitts. Chris and Dom were trying to fight off the hordes of Kyle Pitts fans. If there's any Scottish fans, you're probably going to be calling in and yelling right now, possibly, because I think Steve Clark has let the team down. I think he's let the national team down, and he should not have been given a contract before he got this team into a knockout round, or at least gave you a feeling like they were capable of getting to the knockout round. Scotland had one good half in this tournament, and I know expectations were not crazy high because it's a group with Brazil and Morocco, but come on. You had a good first half against Haiti. The first of six halves was good. The second half against Haiti, you were played off the field, but you kept them off the scoreboard and you got the win. Good. An early goal given up against Morocco, an early goal given up against Brazil, that's unacceptable. Why is the team not ready to survive the opening minutes against two strong teams that you know are going to come out and attack? He should not have been given an extension. He did not prepare this team to take care of business. He has made them way too defensive. He has not leaned into some of the talent that he has. And just the fact that in this match, where once it turns to 3-0, the final 30 minutes, you know you need a goal. You bring on a striker, Che Adams, who is capable of getting you that goal. You bring him on in the 91st minute for your other striker. Very adventurous there from Steve Clark, and Scotland could pay the price. They are right on that line of potentially qualifying as a third-place team, and it would be sneaking in the back door if they do. I hope for their fans' sake that they do. I hope for whatever city they play in, for the bars and pubs' sake, that they get there. I do. The Scottish fans are amazing. Steve Clark has not gotten the job done for this team on far too many occasions, and they have come up well short of the mark in big games too often. And that's just unacceptable. Haiti, the fight from them tonight was great. Again, we'll talk about the Morocco-Haiti game in more detail with Madison Cruz on the other side of the break. All right, let's go to Group B. Canada. We got to talk about something. I'm feisty tonight, by the way, and I don't know why, because I saw a great match and was very, like, my heart was full leaving Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then, I guess, some things that have been said on social media from different people, and Steve Clark was one of them, and Canadian media is another one. Canadian media is complaining about not having home field advantage for the round of 32. They did qualify, and this is the first time that Canada has ever gotten to a knockout game in a World Cup. That's awesome. Canada is a co-host of the 2026 World Cup. That's true. Canada was seeded in their group when they would have missed it if it was by the FIFA rankings, if they were not a co-host. They would have missed being seeded by a lot. I mean, a lot. There's no way they would have been even close to being seeded if they were not hosting. They were the worst of the three co-hosts in terms of their seed in the FIFA rankings. They got the last seed as a number one seed in a group. That is a huge advantage. They did not win their group. They could not get the job done against Switzerland today. Jesse Marsh said afterwards he was disappointed that they lost home field advantage. And there's just a lot of complaining about having to go into the round of 32 and play in Los Angeles on Sunday. Here's the response. You had every advantage available to you, and you still did not win the group. That's on Canada. Canada didn't have to go through World Cup qualifying. They got in automatically as a co-host. They were placed into pot one for the draw. They avoided the world's top-ranked teams in the group entirely. The seeding structure is built to reward group winners with a theoretically better route through the knockouts. That's the incentive. You win your group, you get to either stay where you've been, you get better matches. That's why you try to win your group. You don't win your group, then you go into a deeper part of the draw and you don't get advantages. And yes, you're a co-host, and that's great. You have two cities that are great cities to host World Cup matches in Vancouver and Toronto. No, the round of 32 should not have been structured to guarantee that if you got there somehow in your, out of your group, that you would get to play at home. Because what if you came in as a third-place team? Are you going to have to try to rig the round of 32 bracket to make that possible if you were the third-place team out of the group? No, it can't happen. You knew the route. Win your group, you get to stay in Vancouver. You don't win your group, you're coming to the U.S. to play in the round of 32. Stop complaining. All you needed was a draw against Switzerland. They did not do it. They could not do it. Marsh admitted himself that he made a tactical mistake by not adjusting at halftime, saying he wishes he'd gone to a back five at the half to lock things down. So Jesse Marsh is telling you where the failure was. It wasn't the bracket. It wasn't the structure of the tournament. It wasn't the schedule. It was the fact that the team didn't get the job done when all they needed was a draw at home. So there's nothing to complain about here. And it's foolish when it is a complaint and complaining about not getting full hosting rights. You had two cities that were hosting games. You knew what you signed up for. So stop. Just go get the job done next time. We'll see if they can get it done in the round of 32. Switzerland wins the group with a 2-1 win in Vancouver, which is, yes, on Canadian soil. Ruben Vargas put Switzerland ahead just 39 seconds into the second half. Johan Manzambi, who's been a really impressive young player, he added the second. Promise David came off the bench for Canada. Great volley. That pulled one back, but Canada could not find another one. So they go to the knockout stage for the first time in history. That's awesome. They should be celebrating. Instead, they're complaining. Go have some Timbits. It'll be okay. It'll be all right, Canada. Bosnia and Herzegovina, they beat Qatar 3-1. They finished third with 4 points. They absolutely should make it as one of the 8 best third-place teams. They are in a good position. 4 points should basically guarantee that you get there. It doesn't lock it in yet, but it basically guarantees it. And also what it basically gives you, and again, not 100%, but there are a lot of different things that would have to happen in succession for this to be avoided. The United States is likely going to play Bosnia and Herzegovina in the Bay Area next Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the round of 32. Bosnia and Herzegovina as a third place team against the United States, if the brackets hold, and it should. There are some scenarios where it doesn't, but that is what it looks like the matchup will be for the U.S. Again, tomorrow at the Harvey in Chamblee, we're going to break everything down ahead of the U.S. game. 2-hour show. It is a not quite a cast of thousands, but it is going to be an all-star squad to talk about this game and break everything down. Because even though the result doesn't matter, I think there's a lot of things to watch for in this. Now, Group A is finishing up as we speak. There is no score in either match, which means that Mexico, they've already won the group. That holds, obviously. South Korea would get through as the number two team, and it would be extremely unlikely that Czechia would get through as the third place team on 2 points. They're not eliminated, but it would be extremely unlikely. The match to watch the rest of the night is South Africa and South Korea. That is in the 54th minute. South Africa has to win to get into the knockout round for sure as a second place team. Then South Korea would potentially get in as a third place, but it's not a guarantee. It would depend on the final score and all the other third place teams. So a lot on the line in this one. No score between South Africa and South Korea. 54th minute. All right, coming up on the other side of the break, we'll catch up with Madison Cruz, and we'll talk in a little more detail about what Morocco showed us today, what Haiti showed us as well, and just the overall atmosphere at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or Atlanta Stadium, depending on who you talk to. More Atlanta soccer tonight to come on the other side of the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Still scoreless between South Africa and South Korea and Mexico and Czechia. Nothing settled yet in Group A. A lot of things settled in Groups C and B, and we had a chance to see Group C firsthand at Atlanta Stadium, also known as Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Alongside me was Madison Cruz for that match. Maddie, how are you?
Oh, hanging out. I mean, literally just got back to my apartment in Kennesaw and sitting down as well as Mexico takes the 1-0 lead over Czechia right now and keep things rolling.
Czechia in trouble. This one on the other side, scoreless with South Africa and South Korea. South Africa can jump South Korea if they win this. That's really the only way they're going to get into the knockout round. Otherwise, no chance for Czechia or South Africa. We'll see how they finish up. But we got to talk about Group C. I ranted about Steve Clark and I ranted about Scotland in the first segment. Because it's just, you can't give up early goals against two teams that you know are better than you, and you have to ask what was going on in the preparation in two games that are the biggest you've coached in a long time. Then you do the flip side of that with what we saw today. Haiti knew they were eliminated coming in. They had no chance. They had nothing to play for except pride, and they have a lot of that. Morocco knew coming in that they needed a good bit of scoring to have any chance to win the group because they had to overturn the goal differential with Brazil. So there was the potential for fireworks walking in the door. We got even more than any of us bargained for. It was a pretty epic night in Atlanta tonight.
It was epic, and it's also actually electric in Mexico City right now. Mexico make it 2-0 over Czechia.
There you go. Mexico's just fine.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was, I think texting everyone, I think I even texted my dad. I was like, it is electric here. Like, it was, you know, I think when we do the first, like, two games, for you guys, it's been three. I unfortunately wasn't at the Czechia-South Africa match. But
you didn't miss much, that one.
But it was one of those where, you know, being at those games, you're in the building, you're like, wow, yeah, we're here. We're at the World Cup. This is it. Today was the first time I actually like got to, I think, sit in it and like really like be like, wow, okay, this is the World Cup. Like, this is what it's all about. This is incredible. And I mean, it was just like, I mean, I'm smiling still when I got home, like thinking about it, like every moment that was there. I mean, you had the Haiti fans and supporters, I mean, being loud the entire match. You had Morocco being loud. The roof was being blown off at Atlanta Stadium. And then on top of that, you had a Haiti band to our left. I mean, just making all the noise the entire time. I think they were even playing during Country Roads when that played in the stadium. So it was electric. It was such a cool atmosphere, and it was – so cool to be a part of it.
Well, it's electric in Johannesburg right now as South Africa has taken the lead in the 63rd minute over South Korea. South Korea won their first game against Czechia. They lost to Mexico. They are in danger now. And South Africa, at the moment in the live table, would go into second place with South Korea going into third. Goal differential would come into play. South Korea should be fine to get through as a third place. It's not guaranteed, but they should be okay. But this is a shock because I did not see this coming at all. South Africa's taken the lead. We'll be talking about this the rest of the night. I want to go back to something you said because I felt it walking out of the building tonight, and it was different. And I think the reason it was different was this was the first game that I've been to in that stadium that had almost an equal split in fans. I think maybe the closest one would be the Campeones Cup of 2019, where you had a good number of Club America fans and Atlanta United fans in the building, and you got like the contrasting noise. Because tonight you got that from the Haitian fans, from the Moroccan fans. Both were amazing. Both marched through the city to get there today. The fans showed out in such great force, and it just felt like a celebration of the game. Great goals in it as well. Let's start with Haiti, because this was their sign off to this World Cup, and they knew that coming in. And I thought they did themselves, they did their manager, they did their all their staff, the whole roster, they did themselves really proud with how they played in this tournament. I thought they were better than what the result showed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think especially going into the future, I think Haiti has a lot of talent. And I think especially you get this experience at the World Cup, at the biggest stage, you get the opportunity to go up against some really tough opponents, and Morocco being one of them, and you really held your own, I think, especially in the first half. I thought you held your own for that one as well. And I think especially moving forward as we continue to see Haiti at the international stage, I think you're going to see a team really start to kind of find its moments and start to flourish a little bit more. And I'm excited to see the growth, especially for that whole side. I think they knew it going in. They knew that, you know, their time at the World Cup was ending after this one here in Atlanta. And I mean, they played like they had nothing left to play for. They were out there. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I think the one moment that sticks out to me is the Golasso from outside the 18. Like that was incredible when they took their second lead in the first half. That, I think, I thought the noise after that would, like, that couldn't be any higher than what it was. And it just continued to get more insane. They played really well. I thought they did. And, I mean, they played with all of their hearts out on the pitch. I think that's the best way I can explain it. And you saw that in every moment that happened for Haiti. And it was incredible. They were doing it not only for themselves, for their country, but for their fans that were in Atlanta Stadium today, too.
Wilson Isidore was that goal scorer. It was a rocket from about 20 yards out. The first goal was ruled an own goal. It went off the back of Yacine Bounou. It wasn't going to go in. So the goal from Isidore was Haiti's first since 1974 at a World Cup, their second all-time goal that a player has scored at a World Cup. Just very, very cool. But let's talk about Morocco, because they finished second in the group. They were semifinalists last time around. My line coming into this tournament for them has been they have to get to the quarterfinal if they want to be considered among the world elite. And they're definitely trending in the world elite conversation. There's no way around that. You've had youth national teams win World Cups. You have that semifinal. You, I guess, kind of sort of won the African Cup of Nations, but you didn't, but you did. They got to the final. We know we can say that. And they lost the final on the field, but then the trophy was somewhat awarded to them, except they don't have it. It's very complicated. This is a good team, and they handled the adversity of playing against a team that had nothing to lose, and that team took the lead twice, and Morocco came back and took care of business. What did you see from Morocco that stood out to you?
Yeah, Morocco, I was a little nervous for them, especially in the first. I mean, especially when Haiti took the early lead. I mean, you wanted to see the response, and you saw that, especially with Hakimi. He came in, he was able to find the equalizer for the first time for Morocco. And then the second half continued. It was very back and forth. But I will say, I think for Morocco, you didn't see, I think, the heads hang low, especially in those moments either. I thought they continued just to keep battling and continue to move forward with it. Second half, I think, especially, you know, maybe after a little bit of the scoreboard watching, it's okay, we got to find some goals here. But even then, I mean, I thought Morocco kind of found the rhythm and maybe came into it a little bit more, especially in the second, because the first half is just chaotic. The first half is so back and forth. It felt really stretched. It was stretched, I think, the whole first half, really. Mm-hmm. And then second half Morocco, I think, took a little bit more of that control. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that Haiti did not give them a run for their money in the second either. I mean, it was a very good game. But Morocco, I think they were able to hold their own. They were able to find the end goal a lot of times. They were able to find it at the very end. I'm curious, especially going in now to the knockout, how everything rolls with them. Because that's still, I think, my biggest question for Morocco is we've seen those results, especially against Brazil is the one I keep going back to with that one. I'm really interested to see in the knockout round how this team holds up in those situations.
Right now, as things stand, they would face the Netherlands in the round of 32, Ooh. Which will be a must-watch match for sure. Also, right now, South Africa would face Canada in that round of 32 game in Los Angeles. So that's very interesting with where things currently stand. The South Korean fans are holding four fingers up and getting ready for the fourth quarter as we're in the hydration break. I'm just saying that to upset some people. South Korea trying to find a way back as South Africa has taken the lead, and they've got about 20 minutes to do it. All right, Morocco, second place in the group. They get through. Haiti doesn't. Brazil does. Scotland is watching. The U.S., we know they're through. They play tomorrow in a game that means absolutely nothing for either team. What do you want to see out of the U.S. men's national team tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see some rotation for sure. But I think for the U.S. tomorrow, is I think you just want to keep the momentum going. I think you want to continue to see this team. You want to see what we've been seeing in the last two matches from this side. And I know especially if we get that rotation, I think a lot of people will sit there and say, oh, well, it's not going to be the same. Well, I mean, here's the thing. The personnel on the field might change, but the way Mauricio Pochettino wants this side to play, that's not going to change when you see the match tomorrow against Turkey. I think you want to continue to ride on the momentum. I think you want to continue to put out a solid performance, especially against Turkey, to close things out in the group and get ready for the knockout stage. That's the biggest thing, I think, for me looking into it. I think you want to continue to build momentum. You want a solid performance, and you want to move forward, and especially heading into the knockout. Momentum is everything, especially in a tournament like the World Cup.
Yeah, momentum is key, and I think we're seeing that play out in a couple different ways. I think Morocco carries some momentum out of Atlanta with their performance today, especially being able to answer the bell a couple of times. I think Brazil has momentum right now with what we've seen from them as they've grown into the tournament after the opening draw with Morocco. Who else do you feel like has positive momentum in this World Cup right now?
Ooh. I feel like a lot of teams do. I'm Cape Verde.
Yeah. Even though they Definitely. Haven't won, I agree.
Huh?
Even though they have not won a game, I totally agree.
Yeah. They have not won a game, but I mean, their performances in all of those matches, they've not been easy draws at all by any stretch. I mean, you look at the first game, obviously, against Spain, and I mean, a defensive performance that just stayed solid. It was organized. You obviously had some moments of some panic defending and some chaos, but I felt like other than maybe like once or twice, it was very organized defensively. That was what my question mark was going into the Uruguay game. All right, can we see this team break through and find some goals? We found that too, and they were pivotal goals too. And this is a side that's resilient. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing too. And in a tournament like this, I always talk about momentum. For me, the other thing that you've got to look for, I think, in this tournament is teams that have the ability to be resilient on the field. You see so many teams sometimes when they go down, you see the shoulders start to go. You see the reactions on players, and it starts to fall. The teams that are able to bounce back after a setback like that, who are able to come back in and are able to battle all the way through, and they are able to find that one, that's what sets a lot of these teams apart, especially as you move on into the knockouts, because we know how crazy knockout games can be. We know how crazy any match in the World Cup can be. I mean, gosh, you look back at the final from 2022. That was the most insane game we've ever seen. And how many times did Argentina go down? Then France were able to tie it back up. Then vice versa. And then you went all the way to penalties. I mean, I think those are the two biggest things I look for, is resilience and momentum. I think Cape Verde has that. I mean, right now, they're the team that I'm like, wow. Like, they are carrying real momentum heading into Game 3. And especially as you're looking at where the third place teams and everything falls, I think they have a really good chance, especially against Saudi Arabia. And that's the game I'm going to be circling, especially in the next couple of days.
Would you have ever imagined that you would have said on the radio at any time that you would be circling a match between Cabo Verde and Saudi Arabia as a must-watch?
No. I mean, no, seriously, like, no, like, I mean, I think that's, like, what has been so fun about this World Cup. It's been so, like, I feel like you've seen so many results that have either not, just really have not gone the way I think any one of us has expected, but it's been so fun. It's been incredible. I love it. That's the beauty of the World Cup, right? I mean, you see some breakout performances. I mean, we're seeing at least three goalkeepers gain millions of followers after games. I mean, this is incredible.
Right now, you don't have any major teams that are out yet. South Korea is the one that is maybe the biggest surprise. They're down 1-0 to South Africa. It's into the 75th minute.
And Belgium, too.
Belgium's on the precipice, but they have another game to try to rescue themselves. South Korea would be on a -1 goal differential with 3 points. That would put them ahead of Scotland and would probably be okay, but it would not guarantee anything if they can't turn this game around. All right, rest up. We got a U.S. men's national team pregame show tomorrow, so we will see you at the Harvey in Chamblee, Madison Cruz.
Let's do it. Let's have a fun one. Let's get OW for the U.S.
It's going to be a big one. Thanks for joining in. Coming up on the other side of the break, it's the 3-4-3. Three standout players, four headlines, and three things that have made me smile in the World Cup in the last 24 hours. All coming up on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Taking a look back at today's matches with Atlanta Soccer Tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's time for the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three standout players, four headlines, and three things that have made me smile during this World Cup in the last 24 hours. Score update real quick. You're in the 81st minute. South Africa still 1-0 up on South Korea. Mexico 2-0 up on Czechia. That would mean Mexico, they're already locked in to win the group. That would mean Czechia is eliminated. That would mean South Africa would go through as a second-place team, and South Korea would have to hope that they can go through as a third-place team with 3 points and a -1 goal differential. It would be possible, but not a guarantee. Tomorrow, and one of the groups that is really going to affect that third-place situation is Group E. That finishes at 4 o'clock. Ecuador has to win against Germany, which is not going to be easy. Germany is a perfect 2-for-2. And Curaçao plays Cote d'Ivoire. Cote d'Ivoire has a win in the tournament. They beat Ecuador. Curaçao and Ecuador both drew in game number 2. Both are on 1 point. Both need to win to have any shot of going through in the tournament. If Curaçao was to beat Cote d'Ivoire and Germany was to beat Ecuador, Curaçao, after losing 7-1 in game 1, if they beat Cote d'Ivoire, they go through as a second-place team. That is possible for this Curaçao team. Group F concludes at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Japan and Sweden, they play one another, Tunisia and Japan. And no, Tunisia hasn't gone for a hat trick of coaches in the World Cup. They have kept Harvey Renard in place for Game 3 after they were eliminated in Game 2. The Dutch and the Japan squad are both even on 4 points. The Netherlands has a slightly better offensive record. They drew in their match, so head-to-head is your first tiebreaker. Goal differential is your second tiebreaker. They're both on +4. The Netherlands have scored 7 goals to Japan 6. So they are right now in first place. If they both win by the same scoreline, the Dutch would win the group. Japan would come in second. But goal differential is going to be something to watch. Sweden trying to get out of the third place spot and get into the top two. That is also something to watch. That is an interesting one, and we'll be watching it at the Harvey in Chambly as we get ready for the U.S. men's national team. They play at 10 o'clock against Turkey in a game that doesn't matter in the standings, but matters for momentum. Paraguay and Australia play at the same time. Australia has the advantage, so a draw, they would go in as a second-place team. Then Paraguay would almost be assured with 4 points of going through as a third-place team. If Australia or Paraguay win, the other team will be on 3 points and will be hoping for some help to qualify as a third-place team. That's your schedule for tomorrow. Let's dig into the 3-4-3. Your standout players, number one, Vinicius Jr., 2 goals in Brazil's 3-0 win over Scotland, a header on a cross that they couldn't keep out. He's been the best player so far in Group C, and he is building as this tournament goes on. Brazil has been building as this tournament goes on. I feel like they've gotten better maybe every half they've played, which is a credit to Carlo Ancelotti, a credit to Brazil. That yellow shirt's pretty heavy at times. Brazil is taking care of business right now. They win the group. Number two on standout players, Wilson Isidore from Haiti. One of the standout goals of the entire group stage. Just outside the box in Atlanta Stadium, found the top left corner of the net, gave Haiti a lead for the second time over Morocco. Haiti already knew they had been eliminated. They still showed up. They still played with so much heart. They played like it was a World Cup final. They walked around the perimeter of the field and applauded their fans who stayed to applaud them back. It was such a cool moment in the stadium, and Isidore's goal was amazing. It's a game that I'll always remember, and I'll always remember that goal. Number three on the standouts, Ruben Vargas from Switzerland. He scored the opening goal just 39 seconds into the second half against Canada, swinging the Group B finale decisively in Switzerland's direction. They win the group. They win in Vancouver, Canada. Canada, all they needed was a draw to stay at home in the knockouts. They couldn't get that. Vargas was the player who made sure that didn't happen. Four headlines from around the tournament. Number one, Gustavo Alfaro. Maybe should stop talking and maybe should start coaching. He's complained a lot at this tournament. He's the manager for Paraguay. He complained about the officiating after Miguel Almirón was given a yellow card for diving in game one, which was correct. He complained when Almirón was given a red card for covering his mouth while speaking to an opponent in a confrontational manner. That was correct. Alfaro himself acknowledged that the rules were correctly applied, but he complained anyway. Then he keeps complaining. He's now complaining about the hydration breaks, calling them a commercial break, not a hydration break, saying the game is getting out of hand. This is what's getting out of hand here. This is a manager who is one of the great tacticians in the world. This is a manager who is leading his country or his team. He's actually Argentine. He's leading his team into the World Cup for the first time since 2010. I understand if he doesn't like the hydration breaks. That's fine. But why are you making that a storyline and grabbing the headlines before a game where your team has a shot to lock up second place in the group and move on to the knockout round? Why is this another complaining sequence? And here's the thing about Alfaro that is surprising to me, and I would put Marcelo Bielsa into this category as well, who has also complained. By the way, there were no booing of the hydration breaks in Atlanta Stadium tonight. These are two great tacticians. They're great with moving the pieces around and getting the most out of a squad and making changes and making their team better. The hydration break gives them an opportunity to do that they don't normally get. I know it's new. I know it's different. I know some networks are choosing to put a commercial in that spot. I get that. That's fine. I don't like the commercials either. But the actual hydration break, there's been so much talk about the safety for players playing in heat. Hydration break is needed. And again, and I've said this throughout the tournament, I said it way before there was a statement that came out yesterday from the organizing body on this. If you're going to have hydration breaks in some matches in a competition, you have to have it in all the matches in a competition like this, because you can't have a team take advantage of that break when another manager does not get the same kind of break to take advantage of, when it could mean one team moves on and one team goes home. It has to be the same in every match for competitive integrity. So please stop complaining and please start coaching, Gustavo Alfaro. Number two in the headlines, another sold-out crowd in Atlanta, over 68,000 fans, capacity for the World Cup configuration. Fan bases were great. It was a very split squad. This tournament just continues to grow and grow and grow here in Atlanta, and it is so awesome to see. Number three, Group C, Brazil-Morocco, both finish on 7 points. They drew in game one. As the group went on, Brazil separated themselves. Brazil will go to Houston for the round of 32. Morocco will go to Guadalajara. Two very complete, very dangerous teams. Now they're on opposite sides of the bracket. Both can make deep runs. Very fascinated to see how they both grow in the knockout round. And number four, Scotland, sweating heavily at the moment, not because they're in Miami and possibly the Tartan Army has drank all of the beer in Miami and probably Fort Lauderdale as well. They're sweating because they are in a very precarious position in the third place standings. They have 3 points. Their goal differential is minus three. They're going to need a lot of help in these other groups. Like we talked about with Group E, for example, they need Curaçao and Ecuador to both lose. That would mean the third place team in that group would have 1 point. They need these things to happen. They need Paraguay to be in third after losing to Australia and being at least a minus three goal differential. If they lose by multiple goals, that would then push them even further back behind Scotland. Scotland needs help because they could not handle the start of matches against Brazil and against Morocco, where they conceded very, very early in both. Now they're waiting it out, and they might have to wait it out for a while, because there are more group stage finales all the way through Saturday. Scotland could have to be watching this Saturday night and crossing their fingers. All right, three things that make me smile. The stadium tonight, honestly, to me, it was walking out of the stadium. And it was one of those nights, and I know you guys have had this in your sports experience, where the game is over, you walk out of the stadium, and nobody really wants to go home yet. Fans were taking pictures, fans were hanging out, fans from Morocco were taking pictures with fans from Haiti and vice versa. It was just such a cool celebration of what this tournament can be. With it being such a split attendance, it really was the first match that had such a World Cup feel for me. And it was walking out and seeing red and seeing blue, and then seeing Atlanta United jerseys and U.S. jerseys and Mexico jerseys, and just all the fans enjoying what they saw. It was a great celebration of the game tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Number two on things that make me smile, Lionel Messi turns 39 years old today, celebrating his birthday in the Argentine training camp. He's been on international duty for 13 of his last 22 birthdays. So they had a rest day. I'm sure there was some cake. I'm sure there was an asado. I mean, the Argentines, I think they brought like 500 kilograms of beef to Kansas City for their asados. These guys are barbecuing every night and just enjoying themselves. Lionel Messi is enjoying himself at this tournament. He's right now the all-time leading scorer in World Cup history. Had a hat trick in game one, 2 goals in game two. Just what a summer so far for Lionel Messi. What a birthday celebration in that Argentine camp tonight. And number three on things that make me smile, tomorrow night, the U.S. has an opportunity to do something they have never done. They have an opportunity to have a perfect group stage at a World Cup. It doesn't matter in the sense that they've already won the group and nothing can change. They know when they're playing in the round of 32. They kind of know who they're going to play at this point. It looks like it's going to be Bosnia and Herzegovina. It would take quite a few weird results for that to change. But the U.S. can make history tomorrow night. And you don't always get these opportunities to make history. There's a lot of great soccer-playing countries that have not gone with a perfect group stage at a World Cup, especially a home World Cup, where it just feels even more heightened. You got to be smart about it tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about it on our pregame show. You've got to be intelligent about who plays. You've got to be intelligent about managing minutes. You've got to be intelligent about how you get guys ready for the knockout round. I've mentioned it before. I really want to see Alex Zendejas in this match because you might need him to come off the bench in a knockout game, maybe late when you're chasing a game, maybe an extra time. You need to give some players an opportunity to get their match rhythm here. That's what I'm looking for. One of the things I'm looking for. We'll talk about all that tomorrow from 8 to 10. We'll take you right up to kickoff here on the station, on the Odyssey app. We'll be live at the Harvey in Chamblee. Get there early. There's games starting at 4 o'clock in the World Cup tomorrow. Then 7 o'clock, we will be on hand for that. Chris Thomas will start you off from 6 to 8. I will take over from 8 to 10 with a all-star squad to talk World Cup with you. Hopefully you've enjoyed all the games today. South Africa trying to hold on, flip over to FS1 and see if they can do it. Thank you for hanging out with me this evening. Adios, everybody.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.